Today, we continue with Bedrock, Back to Basics in 1 John. And I hope you're quickly picking up that that John was passionate about the local church. He was passionate about followers of Jesus having a right understanding of who Jesus is and how that shaped their life as they followed him and went forward in relationship with him. David was touching on some of this last week, about a right understanding of Jesus as our advocate before the Father, because he is the righteous one who is able to deal with our sins and has dealt with them on the cross. Today, we continue in this letter and getting right in again to some of the bedrock foundational beliefs and practices that shape our walk with God. You know, I was thinking about it, and every walk I have taken in my life has had an end to it. You know, every day in life I get up in the morning, maybe around 8, between 8 and 8:30, I'll take the dog out for a half hour walk, and we come back home. We've got a destination, the walk has an end to it. If we just kept walking, we would be in trouble. Both of us would collapse, at probably myself first. But when we think about our walk with Jesus, that is completely different. It is a lifelong walk that just keeps going. It's an everyday adventure, an everyday journey of a step-by-step of growing, flourishing and thriving in the relationship we have with Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. And, you know, the circumstances may vary. They can be good, they can be challenging. We can know pain, we can know joy, we can know confusion, we can know clarity and a sense of direction. You know, our circumstances can be very different, but that doesn't mean that we can't still be thriving in the sense of that growing relationship that we have with God. And, you know, this is really John's heart for the local church. These bedrock truths and practices would be in place so that as the local church and the followers of Jesus can be thriving in their relationship with him. Now, I've used that word thrive a few times. Let me quickly point out that when John, you know, that's got nothing to do with material prosperity. It's not on John's radar and it's not on our radar. It's all to do with that relationship that we've got with God being dynamic and growing and has been used by God in his kingdom work. You know, remember back to September 19, they were like, when was that? You know, each one, reach one, please God. God wanted, as your relationship with God thriving, God wanted to use your own life, you know, each one, reach one, to reach others for Jesus. But today we're going to see that we thrive in obedience to God and we thrive in a loving relationship with God. And our text is 1 John 2, verses 3 to 17. If you've got a Bible, good to have it open in front of you. We've got a lot to cover today, so we need to keep moving along. But as we come into God's Word, let me just pray for us. Father God, as we come to your word, we ask that we would just open our hearts and our minds to hear what you want to say to us today. Lord, push back any distractions and help us now to focus in on you. Father, I ask just humbly through the Holy Spirit, you would enable me to proclaim and share and declare all that you want us to hear today. And we just ask this now for your glory in your son's name. Amen. So the first bit of, we're going to read this, John 1, John 2, 3 to 17. We're going to break it down into different sections. And the first section we're reading from verses 3 to verse 6. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, now let me just pause at this moment. John's gone from command to word, but it's the same thing that he's talking about. So he says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Thrive in obedience to God. Introduction, 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that verse 6 is a key verse in this series. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Some translations talk about must walk like Jesus, and others talk about abiding with Jesus. But what John is really doing is he's holding up the life of Jesus and he's saying, shape your life on Jesus. Walk like Jesus. Live like Jesus did. You want to thrive, you want to flourish, then walk like Jesus. And actually, in verse 3 today, that opening verse captures something of this as well. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. The grammar for that phrase, we know, it's not talking there about a one-off event, actually. It's referring to a time where you've come to know something, and that past experience continues to have an ongoing effect on your life today. So John is saying you've come to know Jesus, and that experience, that new life that you've got in Jesus, actually ripples on. It continues on in and through your life each moment. He's talking about continuing on, about getting to know Jesus more and more. And he tells us partly how we do this, verse 3, by keeping his commands. Verse 5, obey his words. Now, let's just put it out there. Obedience is really not a word many of us like. Most of us probably prefer something that God loves me, but please just let me get on and enjoy life as I see best. You know, and we have to be careful because, you know, sometimes we take that love of God that is just amazing. We take the grace that we don't deserve, the goodness, the mercy of God, all that flows into our lives that we don't deserve. We take it, we say, yes, God, you know, I want that. But we're not as keen to take the responsibility of being obedient to him. John is clear. You want to thrive. You want to continue. You want to shape your life like on the life of Jesus. You need to obey him. He doesn't mix his words. Verse 4, if you don't do as he commands, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. Verse 5, he brings in the contrast. If you do obey his word, then the love of God is truly made complete in you. What is John getting at here? Well, imagine if every time Morna asked me to do something, I said no. Mark, when you're passing the shops on your way home, can you get some milk for us? No. Mark, as you're taking the dog out there, can you take that rubbish and put it in the bin? No, I'm not doing that. How loved would Morna feel after a while? You know, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to do anything you ask me to do. And that's what John is getting at here. You know, a thriving, loving relationship with God. We need to be listening to him and doing what he's telling us to do. Primarily, John identifies this through his word. And John gives us the key to this. Keep his commands. This word expresses the idea of guarding. You know, if something is precious, you want to protect it. You want to guard it. And when you know Jesus, when you're in a relationship with him, then you want to guard God's word in your life so that you can thrive. Now, let me stress again, I'm not talking here about, you know, everything being easy. You know, Jesus says in this world you will have troubles. But when we've got that relationship with Jesus, where we're guarding his word in our lives, we can flourish, we can thrive even in the challenges. You know, too often obedience is portrayed as a burden, something dull, something that's lifeless. Maybe you're listening, you're thinking, this just confirms everything I think about Christianity. It's just about rules. But look at verse 5. Verse 5, John talks about the love of God that truly been made complete in them. This isn't something that's lifeless. This is actually something that leads to wholeness in our lives, wholeness to be found in obedience. Our life so gripped by the beauty, by the love, by the life of Jesus, that actually we want to obey him and follow him. Today, I don't know, maybe as you're listening today, you're thinking, you know, my life's empty. I'm missing something. I've got all this, but I feel I've got nothing. You know, in John 1, the Gospel, John talks about Jesus moving into our neighbourhood, moving into our lives. You know, Jesus wants to move into your life today and to fill you with his love and for you to thrive as you follow him. Now, what John now does is he actually narrows this down for us to think about one specific command. Verse 7, let's read on in our Bibles together. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. John narrows in on this command to love each other. And remember, he's talking to the local church here. And only in verse 10 does John mention the word love. But remember, this letter would have been written after the Gospel of John. And so when John talks about a new command, those listening would know he's referring to the John chapter 3, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. So John says in verse 7, I'm not writing you a new command. It's been since the beginning. But then he says in verse 8, we wonder actually if John's having a bit of a senior moment, because he then says, yet I am writing you a new command. And we're thinking, which one is it? Well, actually, it's both. It's old in the sense it goes right back to Moses, right back as we read in Leviticus 19, love your neighbour as yourself, right back to that command to the early growing community of Israelites following God. And it's new in the sense, in the fact that the arrival of Jesus changed everything, because we see God's love most powerfully in the life of Jesus. It is this love that we supernaturally experience in our lives today, as we abide in him, as we walk with him, as we are obedient to him. You know, I love those words in verse 8, the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. You see, the devil's on the run. Why? John 8, verse 12, the light of the world has come. Thriving is about growing in love for each other. I mean, look at verses 9 to 11 and this flow of contrast that we see. Verse 9, if you claim to be in the light but hate your brother or sister, you are still in darkness. Verse 10, the contrast. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Verse 11, we move back to the other side. If you hate your brother and sister, there's consequences. And look at them. Darkness. You walk around in darkness. You don't know where you're going. You're blinded by darkness, by sin, by evil in your life. I almost feel like I need to take a big breath. This is heavy. One commentator says, John is severe. You know, he's talking about relationships within the church. And one of the devil's key attack points in the church is relationships. You know, many a move of God, has been derailed by broken relationships. what does this mean to us today? I mean, I read this and I think, am I in darkness? You know, that person upset me the other week, and, you know, do I love them? You know, well, let me give some practical thoughts on this. I don't think this is about us always agreeing with each other. To love someone, we don't always need to agree with them. We've got different views on different things. I don't know, even mean that. I don't think even means that at times we don't get angry. We see Jesus getting angry at times. I do think, though, that these words are an invitation to pursue reconciliation. You know, where a relationship has been broken, these words remind us, as God's people, we need to seek as best as we can reconciliation, because that's what love does. I do think it contained in these verses is some of the keys to thriving. You know, verse 10, it's all about living in love. And we read there, if we do that, nothing in them will make them stumble. And we get this sense that if there's bitterness, if there's hate in our life, then there'll be stumbling blocks in our life. And I think ultimately what John is doing here is he's challenging that heart that leans constantly towards criticism and bitterness. And as we read in verse 11, there's nothing in that that will lead to thriving. You know, there's just darkness and confusion and a sense of lostness in our life. You know, maybe as we all take a big breath as we read this, maybe for all of us there's just that prompt in our lives this morning. The invitation to reconciliation with someone. Because you see, the witness of the church is our love for each other. And maybe God is just prompting you. Is there someone you need to seek reconciliation with? You know, we thrive in obedience to God. As we keep his word close, as we guard it in our heart, as we love God, as we obey him, as we love each other, you know, don't let the clouds of hate and bitterness come into your life. Clear away the skies as you forgive and love, and we're able to seek reconciliation. But John is not finished with this theme of love. And this takes us in to our second key area for thriving, as we thrive in love with God. And we're going to read verses 12 to 17 now. John's about to give affirmation. He's about to give encouragement before, it has to be said, another severe warning. So let us read more of God's word together from verse 12 to 17. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That's Jesus. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him. You know him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. You know, John mentions three groups twice in verses 12 to 14. Dear children, a generic term that he uses for the whole church. Fathers, a very interesting phrase, but fathers who from the beginning, there's a sense here of men and women who have walked with God, that reaches back through the years, people that are mature in their faith. Young men, again, a stage in life, maybe young men and women who've got that zeal and that passion and that activity. But what he's really doing in these verses is he's looking to affirm, to give assurance about their relationship, their identity in God. You know, look at some of the things he says. Verse 12, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That's Jesus. That's going back to what David was sharing last week about Jesus paying the price for our sins. Verses 13 to 14, you know the Father. That's not just about head knowledge, that's about relationship. The intimate, close relationship they've got with the Father God through the Son. And thirdly, you've overcome the evil one. Look what he talks about them. Because you're strong. Why are they strong? Because of the Word of God that lives in you, and you've overcome the evil one. We can thrive against the attacks of the evil one when the Word of God is active in our lives. John is celebrating here. This is a party in words. He's the wonder, the joy, and the amazement of the relationship they have with God. And the reason he's spelling this out is that he knows that every follower in Jesus is going to be offered something else. Something else nowhere as good as what they have, but it's very tempting. Nowhere as good as what they have in their relationship with Christ and with God and with the Holy Spirit. But he knows it's going to be there. Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now I read this and I think, you know, I love people in this world. I love places in this world. I love certain activities in the world. Is this the ultimate killjoy statement? No. This is the rejection of a worldview led by the evil one. Think 12 to 14, you know, he's talking about you've overcome the evil one. You know, love of the world, love for the Father is not in there. You know, we're talking here about a love that is driven by desires of the evil one. You know, you can't love evil things. And he spells them out in one of the most important verses in the Bible, actually. Verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life. Why is this such an important verse? Because this is the devil's plan of assault in your life and mine. Think right back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve sees the tree that was good for food, lust of the flesh, and delightful to look at, lust of the eyes. And it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, the pride of life. And Adam and Eve got trapped and sinned. Once more, I feel the need to take a big breath. You know, these traps have caught me out at times. At times have caught me out again and again. Do you know where we find most hope? Because sometimes we might look at that and think, you know, is this just a pattern I'm going to be caught in my life? Where do we find hope? In the life of Jesus. You see, Jesus faced all these three challenges and he overcame them. Luke chapter 4, he's led by the Spirit and tempted in the desert by the evil one. The first temptation, food, the lust of flesh. The second, look, all this can be yours, the lust of the eye. The third, think about who you are, Jesus, pride. Jesus overcame them all. Read that later. Through the Word of God, he hits back at the evil one. Dear friends, take hope today. Our struggles are great, but we can overcome them through the power of Jesus and the cleansing of the Spirit in our life. But we live, don't we? We live with this tension at times of one to follow Jesus, to continue with him, to be obedient to him, and yet the ploys of the evil one come in to assault us at times. You know, lust of the eye, the flesh, and pride. John is saying here, the world cannot give you what you need. Remember the love that you have in God. Remember verses 12 to 14. Remember all that you have, and your sins are forgiven. You know the Father. You can overcome the evil one. The world cannot give you what it promises. It will pass away. But those who are thriving, seeking to live in the will for God, to will live forever. Let me say, this is not John slipping in some sort of work faith, you know, some sort of work-based faith here. If you do this, you'll get this. Remember verses 12 and 14, John's like, this is what you've got. You've got a love in your life that you don't deserve. Your sins are forgiven. You've got grace, you've got mercy, you've got Christ in you. Look at what you've got. And because of what you've got, because what God has given you, you want to seek your life in obedience to God. The world says, do what makes you happy. As followers of Jesus, we want to do what makes our Father God happy. The world says, just do what you want to do. Whereas we say, Lord, we surrender, we submit to everything that you want for us. You know, what do we take from these tough verses? I think we need to have boundaries in our lives. So, as I was thinking and preaching about this, the Song of Songs chapter 2 came into my heart. Because if Song of Songs chapter 2 is a wonderful celebration of love, but in verse 15, there's this little phrase, I want to read it to you. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. That word bloom, another picture of flourishing and thriving, isn't it? And here's a celebration of human love, of intimacy, of sexual intimacy. And yet, there is a warning here of little foxes that can get in and destroy what is blooming. And, you know, I think there's something in that that God's saying to us today. As we look to thrive in our relationship with God, we need to be careful of the dangerous foxes that can get in and spoil it. We need to be careful of the things that, the lust of the eyes, the flesh, the pride that can get in and spoil our relationship with God. And that's maybe where we need to set some boundaries in our life. Maybe we need to be aware of the things and say, you know what, I'm not gonna watch that, I'm not gonna go there, I'm not gonna do that, and just be and just you know, close doors to things in our life that we want to get into the vineyard and destroy and affect our relationship with God. Let me say though, we need to be careful as we're listening to this that you're not beating yourself up. Maybe you're sort of thinking, oh, I know, I've got that, I know this is getting into my life. And you know, think back to that last week. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what God wants to do in your life. Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But maybe as we're listening to this today, that journey of thriving that we all want to be on, we need to recognise the little foxes. Close the gate in Jesus' name and say, you're not getting in here anymore. But God wants you to thrive in relationship with him as you're continuing to walk with him. We've seen today some of the bedrock truths and practices that shape our life so that we can thrive. You know, thriving in obedience to God, as we're guarding his word in our life, as we're treasuring his word, as we're being obedient to his word that leads us into that place of completeness and wholeness in our lives. As we're, you know, John narrowed right in that one command to love each other. You know, it is hard. I doubt there is a person listening to this who has not been hurt by someone in the church in some way or other, maybe knowingly or not knowingly. And I want to encourage you to, you know, forgive, love. You know, reconciliation can be hard at times, and maybe that reconciliation is just going to be in forgiving the person. Maybe they've moved away and you're never going to be able to speak to them again or something like that. But let me, you know, don't let the dark clouds of toxic relationship with someone hover in your life. Let the Spirit of God blow in and let the wind of forgiveness take it away in your life. And then we're thriving in love with God. You know, the love, I mean, that's what John's trying to get in verses 12 and 14. What you've got in Christ Jesus is greater than anything else this world can be offer you. And be careful of the schemes that the devil looks to assault you with in your life. You can overcome them. You know, there has been a lot for us to take in today from God's word, and I trust that through his Spirit, something of what has been said is just spoken into your life. But as we come to finish, before we move back into worship together, let's just Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads where you're at home, and just allow God's Spirit just to confirm what He's been saying to you from God's Word this morning, today. Jesus, we know we are loved by you. And we know at times that this love is assaulted by desires and wants that are not of you. And forgive us for the times that we have been caught out and gone down a path that you would not want us to go down. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. But Father, just as we sit here now, a word has come into my heart. And it's the word commit. And it's a strong word when we think about it. We at times commit to something. We can at times commit to do something. Well, Lord, afresh today, we say that we commit to be obedient to your word. We want to guard your word in your life. We want to be shaped by your word being active in our lives. We commit to loving each other. And we are so different and we are so imperfect, and that is so hard at times. But it is one of the great witnesses of the local church, is that people look in and think, wow, look at all those people, they're so different, and yet they love each other. Lord, we commit to that. Lord, we commit also to believing and knowing that what we have in you is the best. There is nothing that compares to. And we commit to being aware of the schemes of the evil one, and to taking our stand, and to being strong, and to closing the door on the little foxes that look to get in and destroy the vineyard, destroy what's blooming. And so, Lord, wherever each of us are at in our relationship with you today, we know there's more, and we hunger for more, and we long for more. And just take us in. Take us in to all that you have for us. Use us in our loving relationships with each other. Use us in the relationships you've got of making with people outside of this church. You know, Lord, you've given us that vision to see 1% of East Kilbride won for you. 1% of this town coming into a relationship with you. It's a God-sized vision, and yet I almost feel there's a contradiction there. You know, what is 1%? But we know it's about 800 people. Lord, we've got a longing to see your kingdom growing in this town. And part of the way, one of the big ways you will do that is through each of us in a thriving, flourishing relationship with you, being used by you. We commit ourselves to you afresh today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship God together, and back to the band, they're going to lead us in our time of worship.
his returning. For his returning, we watch and we pray, and we will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all the redeemed, 'cause Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. So come, let us sing a song, song declaring we belong to Jesus. Here's all we need. Lift up our
Thank you so much to the worship team and the tech team and absolutely everyone involved, and you for tuning in to the service. It's been a difficult few months for us. I mean, January generally can be a difficult month, and I mean especially with the weather and the world that we're living in, it has been difficult. If you need any help or support and prayer, just someone to speak to, please do get in touch with us. The office email is probably the best way to do that. You could get in touch with us. It's available through the website office@eastmainsbc.co.uk.
Please do remember the ways that you can be engaging in prayer in the church life, and hang in there, keep persevering, as Rory was talking about there on Wednesday, and we're all here together as a family, so honestly that offer of help is there for us all. So enjoy the rest of today, and we will see you again next week. God bless.